following program is brought to you by your friends at Podcast One.
Pluto TV, the leading free streaming television service. Watch over 100 channels and thousands of movies on demand completely free. Pluto TV never asks for a credit card. You don't even need to sign up to watch for free. Pluto TV is easy. It's completely legal. And it's the best way to watch your favorite TV shows and hit movies for free. You never pay for TV again by downloading Pluto TV. Not sure what you're waiting for. You can be rolling in a matter of moments. Download Pluto TV for free on all your favorite devices. Do it today, including your phone and Roku and Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, smart TVs, PlayStations, and anywhere else you stream. And also, don't forget about my channel, Chassis, C-H-A-S-S-Y, Chassis Channel. Number 501. It is the best. It is Pluto TV.
And welcome to Corolla Classics for June 1st, 2019. Thank you so much for tuning in. My name's Chris Loxamana, executive producer of The Adam Carolla Show, along with Corolla archivist superfan Giovanni.
I'm exhausted. Been up all night transcribing old reruns of Celebrity Apprentice.
You're doing the Lord's work, Gio, as always, and you cut some amazing clips for us today. So for those just tuning in, this is the show we're going to highlight the best of the last 10-plus years of the Adam Carolla Show, playing clips to reignite memories. Now, if you're finding us on the Adam Carolla Show feed, please subscribe to Corolla Classics, the podcast, on Apple Podcasts or Google us. We're all over the place. Podcast One app.
Tomorrow's episode is a doozy, so I highly suggest you subscribe. As Chris is saying, you do not want to miss the next episode of Corolla Classics airing tomorrow, Sunday, June 2nd.
All right, let's get started with our clips for today. This one is a listener quest. At Barry in Iowa tweeted us, Gio, pretty please play the Joel McHale and Adam Carolla bit where Adam continues referring to his mistress in Seattle, and Joel apparently is the only one in studio that hears it.
This is hilarious. It's almost like a Twilight Zone scenario. Gina and Brian play along perfectly from Adam Carolla Show 2261. This is February 2018. Joel McHale returns to the show, and this clip begins immediately after a live read for a male wellness product. So that's what they're discussing right before this begins. It goes a little something like this.
All right, let's do
so are you cool? Is it cool that to know that guys are like, well, I'm going to get this erection going, and I'm going to think about Adam Carolla now?
Oh, wow.
Oh, I'm flattered. I'm flattered by that.
It's great.
I really am.
The performance,
mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, it's better than thinking about baseball.
Adam,
and
what is your wedding ring made of?
I asked that yesterday.
I've been asked this a lot.
I love
okay,
it. It's so exciting. Is it a car part?
Well, that's crystallized tears.
I got to do something about this. I was asked last night by my nanny about this wedding ring. What had happened is this. I had a gold wedding band, and I have a knuckle that has been damaged. And it
how?
Was
like a devil's
boxing?
Knuckle.
It looks like a large yes. pea under the skin of your knuckle.
And if you'd like to feel it,
it's so hard.
I'd like to touch it. It's rock hard.
Ew, hold on. I touched it. Joel's going to touch it, too.
Joel may touch the knuckle. It is a rock hard.
You may touch the knuckle.
It is a... It is rock.
Look at that.
It is rock hard. And so if
is that the bone?
If it's a calcium deposit or something. There's something going on from too much boxing in my youth. So what happens is if I try to take my wedding ring off to hit the heavy bag, throw some weights around, or bang a stray on the road.
What?
Hmm?
You said bang a stray on the road?
I said hit a heavy bag.
Yeah, right.
I said adopt a stray.
Or I said throw some weights around.
Yeah.
What did you
That's
hear?
That's pretty much.
Then you said, I feel like, Gina, you heard it, bang a stray on the road.
No, I think
you're you must have mistook that with hit the heavy
fever,
bag.
Yeah.
It's hard to.
I just mean, did the two.
You, Brian, did you hear him say bang a stray on the road?
I heard you say it.
Yeah,
I
you said you it like it. Three times. Yeah.
Why would I be...
Well, could you take it back? Because Lynette listens to the show.
It's a family show.
To Joel's wife,
yeah,
too.
No, I mean, I did you guys hear it?
No.
They heard the heavy bag, right?
Heavy bag, hit the throw heavy some bag. Weights around.
Right.
Okay.
All right.
I'm going to...
That's strangely specific, Joel.
So then, if you could just...
Telling.
Why don't we start over? Why don't we just start that over? Like, so when you...
Okay. So, okay. So, whether I wanted to hit the double-ended bag...
Right.
Or do some bench press...
Right.
Or fuck a groupie, I realized that I needed to take the
you
ring
just said
off.
Fuck a groupie, right?
What?
You just said it. That's weird.
That's very offensive.
I don't know what groupies are. As a type of fish?
Why... Why would I?
Okay,
why,
I hit. Okay, the, I used to box.
I know. And
I hit a
look,
double.
The Hammer is one of my favorite romantic comedies ever.
I'm glad you like. They have a double ended bag.
Right.
You can work on your timing.
Okay.
With that, but you'd want to take your wedding ring off.
And if you wanted to lift weights, with you can't wear the wedding ring because
well, no, to pinch against the barbell.
Or
you know what I mean, the belt. The right.
Or to what? Or to
heavy bag.
Heavy bag. Weights.
Dumbbell.
To take your right, well, to take your ring off you for other things such as okay,
I don't
because I heard you say fuck a groupie. That's what I heard.
Oh, Joel,
strike two.
You got to worry about sometimes what you're thinking versus what you're saying.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Okay. I'm gonna okay.
I feel like I feel like you're thinking it.
I'll let you get. I'm so sorry. Okay, why don't you get through with your thought? So you have to take your wedding ring off to do. Just
hit a speed bag.
Right.
Sometimes even skip rope, plow a stranger.
Right.
So.
Okay, you just said plow a stranger. Is that part, you said plow a stranger. You heard it, right, Gina?
I said.
Hashtag me too. I don't like this language, yeah. And I'd like you to leave.
I said skip rope.
I didn't say it was non-consensual.
Okay. This is an unconventional.
I gave you a lot of examples, Joel. I said skip rope.
Right.
I said speed bag.
Right.
I said double-ended bag. I said heavy bag.
Right.
I said barbell, and I said dumbbell. Now, if those aren't six enough examples for you, is why I have to take my wedding ring off and why you have to stray into this world where...
I swear, when you play this back...
You accuse me of banging Janine, a 31-year-old thrice-divorced mother of three who I keep in an apartment in Seattle. When you come out with those kinds of accusations...
Wait, you just said 31-year-old mother of three who lives in Seattle, you have an apartment for her, name is Janine, right?
I said dumbbell. I said heavy bag. I said speed bag. I don't even know how you know Janine...
You know this Janine, so you said Janine.
You're saying Janine.
31
I'm
years
saying,
old,
how
mother
do you
three.
Know my Janine? That's what I'm saying. So I don't even know what you're talking about.
Wait, now you are saying you know Janine.
I'm saying you keep saying Janine, and if you keep talking shit about my little girl, I'm going to go upside your head.
Little girl? She's a mom of three.
Right, you leave my daughter out of this. All I know is you're throwing out random names.
Your daughter is not named Janine.
My daughter's named Natalia.
Right.
And don't you evoke her name. You understand? Would not be happy if she heard you bringing up her name.
Joel, you've always been such a polite guest.
Jesus
respectful.
Christ. This is uncomfortable.
This?
It just seems like every time you ramp into the stuff that you like to do without your wedding ring on, you go, well, this is a practical purpose. I need to box with it because it'll hurt. I need to lift weights.
True.
And I need to take it off because you could pinch the skin. And then you say, plow a stranger. You say, this woman that you keep in Seattle named Janine who's a mother of three. You said those things or bang a stray on the road.
I don't even want to dignify that with an answer, but Janine blows me. So why would I take... the ring off. How would that cause any
You
any
said
friction?
Janine blows me. You said it.
You are saying Janine blows you?
No.
I don't even know who Janine is.
You said Janine was your daughter, your little girl.
All right. Joel, I'm sorry. We started off so well, but you sicken me. You sicken me.
I don't know why you guys... Okay. You know what? So, you take the ring off.
I do, because I still enjoy... the sweet science of boxing and banging Janine. And I go into the gym or the apartment on Queen Mary.
Mm-hmm. On Queen Anne.
And I'm able to perform. Okay? And I wish you'd stop turning this in some sort of salacious direction. like you know, you do with I don't know, Kevin Hart or Paul Reiser or Alison Brie or one of the other guests that may show up on one of your first episodes of Joel McHale Show with Joel McHale,
yeah,
which premieres Sunday, February 18th on okay. Netflix. So well, if we could just kind of move forward and do a made up movie,
no,
I don't even know. Normally we have a good time when you come into the studio.
I'm just not going to talk about you getting blown by Janine. But
I
don't even know who Janine is.
Okay, you're
and
right.
Nope, I don't know how you know
you're
who
right.
she is,
right.
and I've never heard that name before, and when I tell her you were talking shit, she's going to be pissed.
If you've never heard the name before, how can you tell
well,
her?
Well, of course I've heard the name Janine. I went to junior high with like six Janines.
It's a real name.
Doesn't mean but I'm currently
then
plowing
you said
them
she's
from
going
behind.
To be pissed.
I think I can clear this up, you guys. I went back, I looked out the tape, and I think I know what Joel heard. Let's listen if he heard, in fact, Plow a Stranger.
Plow a Stranger.
See, you said it.
You were the
you
one who said it.
Plow
we
a
heard
stranger.
It right there on
you
the tape.
Just, I was quoting him.
And first off,
play it again.
Plow a Stranger.
And Janine is no stranger. We've had an ongoing affair for 7 years. Okay?
Guys!
So...
He
please
just said
watch
he has an ongoing affair for 7 years.
Why would you accuse
why would
him
you
of
make these allegations?
Wild allegations.
My children listen to this podcast.
His name's on the sign.
Your daughter, Janine?
No, I don't even know who Janine is. My daughter's named Natalia, thank you. And I'd ask you not to bring her name into this conversation.
How can you not know Janine when you literally just said that just seconds ago that she's going to be pissed when she hears about this?
My daughter, Natalia, is going to be very upset when she hears about what you said about my gal, Janine. Okay? I don't even know who Janine is. All right?
Okay.
That's right. And I don't even know her last name. We've agreed not to use last names. So I have no idea what you're saying in my studio right now.
You just said seconds. You just mumbled. We've agreed not to use last names, right?
I said, okay, please, one more time. Hit the heavy back.
Yes.
Hit the speed bag.
Right.
Double-ended bag.
Okay.
Barbells.
Right.
Dumbbell.
Uh-huh.
Skip rope.
Right.
Yeah, that's all I mean.
That's all and take Janine from behind. That's all
we'll
I can think. That's all I said.
The fuck you said take Janine from behind. You just said it.
I don't know who this person is. And I don't know why you're obsessed with her.
It's your show,
Adam.
It's just
offensive.
That you keep saying shit, and then you say you haven't said it, and no one.
Thank God I have witnesses.
We may have witnesses.
Joel, you're going to have to check the tape and then check yourself.
You know what?
Brian, do you have it?
I got a different section of
the He's going to edit it down, and he's going to put my voice in there.
He just records.
I just record, man.
Janine takes me from behind. That's what you said.
Let's hear it.
What you and Janine do is your business.
I'm quoting.
As long as it's another Janine, I'm not fucking.
What?
Would you, huh?
You just said as long as there's not another Janine, I'm not fucking.
Okay. Joel, what you and this magical person named Janine do is your business. That's what I'm saying. I don't know. I don't care. Go ahead. Except for this weekend. Go ahead.
Fuck a groupie.
Oh my God. Is that what you do on the road?
I can see why you would think.
How unbelievable. I thought you were a nice guy.
All right. And scene. Thank you, Joel McHale.
Not scene. Let's keep going.
So anyway, my nanny said to me.
That cow.
Your nanny.
Okay. All right. She said to me, like, by the way, I don't need this for my goddamn nanny. She said last night. Okay. So I did a show in Vegas. We did a show at Caesars. When I was done with the show, a guy handed me this O-ring rubber gasket wedding ring, and he said, use this because your ring won't come off if you ever want to bang Janine. You have to pull your ring and it gets caught up on this big calcium deposit of it.
Yeah.
It's like it literally won't come off. And if you want to hit the speed bag or something, you want to take it off. So he handed me this, and I've been wearing it ever since. And everyone always asks what it is, but they make them like in black. I think I need one in black. That's what like the athletes wear athletes.
And then, if I look up O-ring rubber wedding ring, that will come up.
Look up like workout wedding ring or something.
Wow.
It's for guys who like have to practice stuff and like don't take the ring on and off.
Plus,
like,
if you get it in black, you can always, in a pinch, you know, say, oh, my wife just died. I'm in mourning. I need, you know, a soft.
Or you use it as a cock ring with Janine.
Yeah.
You get it big enough.
You use it as a cock ring with Janine.
Okay, what you and Janine do is your business, Joel.
Okay,
I don't even know why I would verbalize it. You have to hit the heavy bag on a kid. So here's the thing. My Hey, let me ask you this. If you're I don't know if your nanny does this to you, Joel. But I don't need my nanny doing this to me in the kitchen last night. She's like, "So what is that?" I said, "It's the wedding ring." She says, "Why?" I said, "Well, the other one I can't take on and off like and stuff, and my knuckles screwed up, so I just wear this one." And then she goes super sarcastically, "Oh, you're scared women are going to bother you on the road?" And I'm like, why is that not a possibility, bitch? I was in D.C. last week. There are plenty of chicks there. It's a possibility.
Yeah, tons of people in line waiting to see you.
Why are you ruling this out?
Yeah. I like how you go home and you get heckled by
yes, I get heckled
by people that you pay.
Yeah. Every once in a while, we have this routine worked out where I go, "Now, listen, everybody. I don't like to talk about myself." And she goes, "No." Stamps.com. Save time for your small business. Skip the hassle of the post office. Buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or any package and do it right off your computer and printer. And with Stamps.com, you get 5 cents off every first-class stamp and up to 40% off of priority mail. We use it here. We use it at the other shop. We have the scale. We send stuff out. It's all we use. No wonder 700,000 small businesses use Stamps.com. Look, it's about time. It's about effort. It's about saving money. It's Stamps.com. And right now, special offer just for my listeners, 4-week trial plus postage and digital scale. Go to Stamps.com. Click on the microphone, top of the homepage, type in Adam. At stamps.com and type in Adam and get all the deals they got.
And there you have it, Joel McHale. Gio, he actually took home Guest of the Year.
That was an amazing episode. It was so hard just to include that portion. It's such a funny episode. He's so great on air with the gang. And it's like, that's just what they requested, so I'm only putting this in. Yeah. But I want to put in so much more.
Oh, there's plenty more, and we will address it in future Coral Classics podcasts.
Oh, yeah.
So, this next clip, Gio, this one was an Instagram DM. Someone slid into your DMs, Kelly, and she writes, "Hey, Gio, so I have a Coral Classics request. I don't know if it's compelling enough for the show, but it made me laugh so much. The founder of Castrol came on the show 3 times, fool. And Brian asked a stupid question, and Adam did a bit where he was so embarrassed of Brian, and he said that he thought they were friends, but they were never really good friends."
From Kelly Mac9 on Instagram, "Adam Carolla Show 1682, featuring Adam Ray, John Demko, Gina Grad, and Brian Bishop. This is before Adam Ray joins them in studio. This is from October 2015. And John Demko from Castrol is telling them about their product. And Brian has an interesting question.
John, got a hard-hitting question for you. What percentage is just pure old-school dinosaur oil versus pure synthetic versus mixed in 2015 Castrol sales?
Castrol sales.
Oh, you thought it was me all softball questions.
Yeah.
You didn't know
I was coming with hard stuff.
So I'm the technical guy.
Yes.
That's why you're asking me sales questions.
Well, I'm just kind of curious. Like, when I was a kid, it was like it didn't exist.
Right,
and then
right.
About 10 years ago, it started going. But you would talk. It's funny. You talk to the old school guys. They're like, "Yeah, I don't go with that. I don't go with that synthetic stuff." The engine builders, like the high end guys, they were old school.
Okay.
Now I feel like it's ubiquitous.
So let me answer your question without giving you numbers.
All right.
Since I don't know the numbers, to be honest.
Mm.
Precisely.
Again, from Lynette after the show, but yeah. Keep going.
Okay. But conventional oils are still the primary oil sold, you know, in the U.S. marketplace.
Really?
You know, the GTXs? Absolutely. You have to realize that in the U.S., the average age of a car is over 11 years old.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
And so with that, obviously, there's going to be still a lot of conventional oils recommended, you know, for vehicles. However, when you look at how things are trending, how viscosity grades, oil grades are getting thinner. I mean, we started from 1040 to 1030 to 530, 520, 020.
Now, this is all part of the cafe thing.
That's exactly right.
Think about, Brian.
I'm thinking.
You're not a gearhead.
No, but Gina, I understand things.
I know.
Yeah, back over here. Yeah, Brian, take a powder.
All right. You take this, I was going to make it the crank and the rods and stuff like that, but let's just make it a spoon.
Okay. Okay.
A wooden spoon.
All right.
All right. You're making some fudge brownies.
I love everything.
Okay, little girl. Kick those shoes off. All right. So you're in the kitchen where you belong.
Where I belong, yeah.
Right. And you're making yourself a bowl of delicious. Mm. You're making up some from scratch.
Whipping
too.
It up.
No Betty Crocker in the house.
You're wearing
you're going scratch.
You're wearing your apron.
Duh.
Mm-hmm. And nothing else.
Sure.
Your man is in the next room. Mm-hmm. He's with his beer and
his, slippers.
And his other lady friend.
Oh, damn it.
She does things that you either won't do or don't do so well.
That's probably true.
But either way, you've decided to make some fudge brownies for
okay.
him.
Okay, yeah.
Okay? Now, you got that mixing bowl.
Yeah.
And it's under your right arm. Mm-hmm. And in your left hand, you're holding a wooden spoon.
Thanks for knowing I'm left-handed.
Yeah. Yep. And you're stirring.
Okay.
You're stirring that bowl.
Uh-huh.
Well, the thicker that fudge brownie mix is, the harder.
Elbow grease.
Harder. It's going to. You're sweating hard.
Yeah.
You're working now. You
yes.
have to think. But imagine if it was thin.
Oh.
How easy it'd be for you to take that wooden spoon and mix it up.
Shave like 10 minutes off.
Then, of course, you're going to say, well, yeah, but if it's watery thin, those brownies are going to taste like
horrible.
Ass. What if I said guys like John over here have figured out a way to make it easy to turn and still make a delightful pan of brownies.
John fixed my brownies?
He absolutely did.
Thank you, John.
Mm-hmm. Anytime.
He may put some nuts in them at some point, too.
Okay. Well, mm-hmm. I deserve it.
Those Is that are a those good
special,
description?
Those are those special performance differentiating additives. Absolutely.
That's right.
By
in
the way,
brownies?
No shit. I actually understand oil now.
Well, it used to just be super thick and gooey and molassesy and honey, and it was like, so all the parts in the car like and then it would warm up and then thin out a little, but it was still like and now we need better mileage so it's got to turn easier.
I have a potentially stupid question for you. Speaking of better mileage, electric cars, Teslas and whatnot, they still use motor oil, obviously, because they have the moving parts, right?
They don't use motor oil.
They don't use any motor oil.
They're electric.
Well, I know they don't use gas, but
hold on,
but
John. I am so sorry.
But they have working parts. They have
John. Please.
there are things turning but there's no combustion engine.
When something turns in your brain. So. Why don't we get that turning? Just a minute, John. I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
I'm so sorry. I can't explain what went on. All I don't know. We have a working relationship. We don't have
for
what
now.
I would call a friendly relationship. I would say we're civil outside of the studio.
I wouldn't speak for everyone here.
Say he does not certainly speak for me or the staff.
Or me and my brownies.
That's right.
It's got a big battery.
Oh, I know that. I just assume there are other moving parts that need a lubrication.
You would need to.
But not motor oil.
You would repack.
They do lubricate them, though.
Yeah, you would pack.
Bearings.
Bearings and things like that. Weird. Castrol actually does make.
Smart.
Some. I don't know if it's lithium or what
curve.
It is. But
we make grease. We All make right. grease for cars.
Grease?
We make.
We don't make. Fucking talk we about make. I'm an idiot.
Castrol Edge, heat, friction, viscosity, breakdown, rob your engine of maximum performance. Friction results in loss of performance of up to 10%, whether you got the Vette, Z06, I think, or the Raptor. Got to get some Castrol Edge in there.
Oh, yeah.
Helps fight friction, deliver maximum levels of performance for your car. Three times!
Three times, fool!
Stronger against viscosity breakdown than leading oils. It's Castrol Edge. Unlock the true performance in your car's engine.
And we're back. Chris and Gio here. More Corolla Classics clips for you. And if you want to submit a request for something you want us to play on the show, just email us. It's easy. Email classics@adamcorolla.com or tweet us, whatever. Google us. Tap us on the shoulder when you see us at Ralph's. We don't care.
Hey, Chris, what was that?
We're going to play that clip tomorrow. All right. This clip, though. This is a weird one, Gio, because we had two different requests for clips.
That I thought we were never going to fulfill, by the way. I thought it was like, these are backburnered. This is never happening.
Right.
This is not the morning show. I can't use it yet.
Yeah, so we have two different requests, and it turns out they were in the same show. This first message is from Wayne. The segment where Adam pretends to interview Isaac Hayes with Bald using drops made me piss my pants. Hilarious. And also, Lonnie writes in, hey guys, I'm requesting the improv bit with Adam and Norm MacDonald regarding the Natalie Holloway case and that Vandersloot guy. Thanks for giving me a Saturday podcast. Wayne and Lonnie, we got a clip for you.
Oh, you're so in luck. Adam Carolla Show 338, three episodes into the format switch, featuring Bobby Lee, Teresa Strasser, and Brian Bishop. This is from June 2010, and this is a really great series of clips. Essentially, it's Teresa's news, which segues into a story about Joran van der Sloot. And then a little bit later, I cut it so they start talking to Isaac Hayes via drops, which is a classic bit they used to do on the radio show after their final interview and Isaac's final interview. And then Bobby Lee actually comes in, and they threaten to do another reenactment with Isaac with Bobby, but it never happens. But Adam tells an old story of Margaret Cho and a screenplay.
It's good.
Right, there's nothing you can say to somebody who just immediately says, I fucked up. I'm so sorry. I feel terrible.
I'm sorry!
I tell this to Lynette every fucking time we argue.
Really?
Just say you fucked up and you're sorry and we'll move right ahead.
That must be so delightful to hear.
Yes.
Can't imagine
yes.
how great that
It'd
must be,
so
be time
easy.
After time.
We could move forward. I could move on to my next complaint if you just say you're sorry
Although
about
you know
this
who's
one.
Really good about apologizing is your friend Donnie. He will, if he makes a mistake, but the thing is, it doesn't stop him from making more mistakes.
No, and...
But he will immediately apologize.
I don't know, because I think he just wants to shut you up, because with me, he never admits
really?
To making a mistake. Yeah, he stands by his horrific decision. You know, it was funny, 3 days ago, before we started the new format,
yeah,
I said, you know what? Let's do the show the night before the morning of. Let's do the show in the evening,
right.
as we're doing it right now, and then it'll be ready for 6 a.m. East Coast time. It'll be like we're doing a morning show.
Not
and
much unless, happens.
And unless some celebrity kicks off at 1 a.m.,
right.
we'll be fine.
And then people will go, and, why didn't that idiot Teresa mention it in her news?
Not only that, we talked shit about the Golden Girls yesterday and the funerals pertaining to the Golden
the woman,
Girls.
The woman was probably...
sweet irony!
As we were talking shit about Ruth, she was probably having a massive stroke.
We did not make it 1 week into this format without
it
exact
fucked us.
One thing that I said is never going to happen, and we actually happen to be talking about her.
Yeah.
So if anyone heard this show on the East Coast at 6 a.m., they heard us talking shit about Rue McClanahan.
Who had died at 1.
Who died a few hours early.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Well, we're sorry.
Yeah, we made it to Wednesday without fucking up.
All that happened was you made the point that, for example, at Michael Jackson's funeral, all the black people had to attend.
Yes.
Whereas when a Golden Girl dies, the other Golden Girls who even might, live down the block, they are not required to attend.
That was a point I made some time ago, and it was your Golden Girl point that, Whitey don't travel for funerals.
Well, I wonder if Betty White will show up to this Rue McClanahan funeral.
And we don't even, there's no pressure being white, because we don't have to have that allegiance thing. You know what I mean?
I got confused, because I thought you were talking about Betty White, but you meant
Caucasian.
No.
Well, yeah. what I mean is like when George Lopez sees Oscar De La Hoya, they have to hug it out.
Right.
They just have to.
Yeah.
It's not like I see Rip Taylor and I'm like, oh man, come here, my brother from another mother. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? It's like, well, we're white, we're comedians, but I don't give a shit about you.
Yeah. Right. I would say even in the non-celebrity world, I've experienced this where if I go someplace with my stepfather who was black and there was like one or two other black people there,
yeah.
they would sort of have to interact at some point. They would have to meet.
Yeah, Golden Girls all had really old names.
What's that?
Golden Girls all had really old
Estelle,
names.
Estelle.
Betty,
yeah.
Rue, and B.
Yeah.
Benny's a cute name.
Rue, what's a name?
Rue is a great name.
Yeah.
Except it's like Rue the Day.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not. Mm. Well, we rue the day we decided that we were going to trash one of the remaining Golden Girls. Anyway, B. Arthur says that Rue was a close and dear friend. I treasure our relationship. Not enough to attend her funeral. No, it hurts more than I ever thought it would, if that's even possible.
Wait a minute. Which Golden Girls are dead now? Estelle and Rue?
Everybody's dead but Betty White, who's 88. So B. Arthur is dead.
Yeah, but didn't she talk about – didn't you just do a quote from B. Arthur?
That was from Betty
White. Betty
White. About,
oh, sorry. B and Betty. Oh,
yeah,
I gotcha.
It's confusing.
All right.
Yeah, so Betty White says it hurts.
So it's really, essentially, Estelle Getty, who I think wasn't as old as we thought she was, or maybe she wasn't, but is Betty White the oldest one still alive?
That's a good question. I think you're right. Estelle Getty played a character who was much older than she was.
Yeah, she was in her 30s when they shot
that. Yeah, she was just in her 30s, with a little bit of sun damage.
Yeah.
Betty White, yeah.
Betty
you know?
White's like 83, 84.
She's 88.
88.
Yeah.
She, so I think the oldest of the goldest is still the alivest.
I think so. Yeah.
Thank you. We're all Shakespearean players now.
I know. First the James Joyce, and now this.
Yeah.
It's become too literary. Mm-hmm. A Dutch man suspected in the disappearance of Natalie Holloway 5 years ago was detained yesterday for the murder of another young woman in Peru, Jeroen Vandersloot, Nancy Grace's favorite, 22, yeah. was caught in Chile. Stephanie Flores, 21, was stabbed and killed in a Lima hotel Sunday, exactly 5 years to the day that 18-year-old Holloway went missing while on a school trip to Aruba.
They never found her, did they?
Did they find her body?
And has it been 5 years?
It was 5 years to the day when this stabbing occurred.
Well, listen, you celebrate the way you celebrate, and Vandersloot celebrates the way he celebrates. We don't judge.
I shouldn't judge him.
Yeah.
He was staying with this woman at a Lima hotel. She was spotted with him on the day of her death. Vandersloot was also one of the last people to be seen with Natalie Holloway.
So Vandersloot basically sort of bought his way out, got his way out. Look, you think you guys complain about our justice system. You ought to do a little traveling, see what it's like abroad, by the way. And so he what happened? He went in and out.
He was arrested in 2005.
Right.
And then he was released. He was arrested with these two brothers. And then in 2007, he was arrested a second time. They thought they had gotten new evidence. They let him go. In 2008, prosecutors sought unsuccessfully to arrest him a third time after that videotape, you probably remember, surfaced, where he was telling a friend that he'd had sex with Holloway on the beach after leaving the nightclub. And then she started shaking and lost consciousness.
Right. Oh, Nancy Grace is going to like blow out some fallopian tubing thinking about this. So
this
now he did kill this next one?
Well, he's been arrested.
So he killed Rue McClanahan?
For the death of Rue McClanahan.
I'm really not focusing today. All right. So he did it again. Essentially, allegedly he did it again, right?
Allegedly, yeah. I mean, it seemed pretty clear that he was responsible for this Holloway murder.
And as you and I always talk about, that whole part about how when he goes to trial for this one and then the first one is not going to be admissible.
Inadmissible.
That's all you need to know. The last chick he dated went missing.
She came to a violent end, most likely.
We assume. Okay.
And also, can't we just convict him of just being skeezy?
And douchey.
And douchey looking and just, ugh.
Yeah.
I know that's not how our justice
system works.
Someone's
got to stop these Dutch.
The Dutch.
They're out of control.
You know, it's the best of times and the worst of times for the Dutch, because it seems like, you know, they do a lot of interesting research.
Yeah.
And then they turn in Anne Frank.
Yeah.
Was that the Dutch?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I always think about that Anne Frank thing where somebody dropped a dime on her.
What cocksucker did that?
I know. Like, hey, man. Hey, Schultzy. Come here. There's a 13-year-old Jew cowering up in the attic up there. Yeah, 2215 Main Street.
She still believes in the goodness of all people.
Yeah.
She writes about it in her diary.
In my diary.
There's also a cat.
Yeah, she's staring at dead wildflowers. Go get her. she's living off of tap water and breadcrumbs. Go get her and put her on a train for Auschwitz. Yeah, great. Awesome. You're doing the Lord's work. Oh, by the way, we're going to win the war for sure now.
Oh, definitely.
It's done. Yeah. It's done. We'll be marching into Times Square in about 15 minutes with that 13-year-old 90-pound Jew off. Once we get her off the books, it's all done.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Did anyone fucking... what happened? And this is why Germany needs to be bombed again.
Right.
Abso-fucking-lutely. They really need to be bombed. Just for that. Just for the Anne Frank thing. And the fucking guy... I mean, whoever ratted out Anne Frank... That person, in my eyes, is worse than the person that went and got her. I have this weird thing. Like, the guy who rapes the 6-year-old girl in the bathroom of the casino in Vegas is not as bad as his buddy who stands around and watches. Because that guy's just a rapist. Like, he's just fucked up.
Yeah, he's a sociopath.
The other person... There's nothing wrong with the other person other than they don't mind standing around and watching people getting raped.
Right. If you're a Nazi and you collect some Jews...
That's what you do.
You're a Nazi.
Otherwise, you're the world's shittiest Nazi.
But if you're just some Dutch guy that dropped a dime on Anne Frank...
Yeah. Like, hey, man, really feel like she poses a threat.
she's a 90s.
We really got to put an end to this. You know what?
She's a starving Jew.
I can't sleep at night knowing there's a 13-year-old Jewess up in the attic up there eating her toenail clippings. I cannot deal with that. I can't sleep. I'm wrestling with it. I just can't wrap my head around it, man. I've been trying to suppress it, but it's like Edgar Allan Poe. I feel the knocking coming at the floorboards.
Knock, knocking. It's not a raven. It's Anne Frank.
Yeah, it's Anne Frank. It's driving me nuts.
I mean, it's called the final solution, not we leave some kid.
Yeah, not unfinished business.
What happens to Anne Frank? She grows up and breeds.
Oh, and then we got another Jew on our hands.
We create more Jews.
Yeah, the telltale Jew.
They're like little rats.
Yeah, we gotta go get her. Yeah. And this is why I'd make the world's worst Nazi guard, because I'd be like, what year is it? 44. Nah, fuck. This thing's about over, isn't it?
Don't we all know this is...
Can't we just go into the fucking four corner and run out the Nazi clock? That's why I'd be a shitty guard, because, like, I'd start seeing the P-51s overhead and start reading the writing on the wall, and I'd be like, you see what's going on over there in Russia? Let's fuck it. Start working on... you know what?
Just leave the gate open and whoever leaves, leaves.
I'm going to focus on getting to Brazil, by the way.
Oh, or Argentina.
Yeah.
I love Argentina.
Yeah, good beautiful steaks. This time of year. Great produce.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. And they love hiding Nazis.
Mm, love them gauchos.
Why do they always end up in Argentina?
Because they don't really have rules there, evidently.
If you're a Nazi, you can live a long life.
We're one of those stupid countries that has rules.
Right. What good does it do us?
No.
And if you're in Aruba, you can pretty much just kill a tourist.
Well, you get to have sex with them first. You don't just kill them first. Or during, yeah.
Never.
Yeah. I think, I don't know why, but I think we have some clips of me and Norm MacDonald. This was taken from the original radio show. I guess somebody put it up on YouTube. And it was us talking about Vandersloot.
The first time around.
It's a reenactment.
Of him?
I think Vandersloot's calling a buddy for help, I think.
Yeah, Vandersloot like talked to one of his buddies and said, like, hey, man, need your boat. We need to drown this girl. This was the hypothesis.
Right.
And I guess this is the conversation they had.
It's already funny.
Hello?
Dowry, is this you?
Hey, Vandersloot, what's happening?
Hey, listen, buddy, I'm in some trouble, man.
What's up?
I'm calling you from a payphone. I realize it's near 2006.
What, do you need to borrow some money or something? What happened to that cell phone? Yeah, anyway, what do you need? You need to borrow 20 spot?
Now, this is the thing, man.
What'd you do, vomit on your shirt or something? You need a new shirt?
No, I met a hot lady.
All right.
Yeah, down at the casino.
Uh-huh.
And I brought her to a remote section of the beach. You know how I work.
Right. I know your M.O.
Yeah.
What, do you need a condom or a roof? Or something?
No, I already have those. I've already used those.
Oh, okay.
The thing is, I mean, this girl wanted it bad.
Yeah, cool.
You know
what do you need, a towel
about?
Or something?
Nah, that's not it. You remember that boat you had?
We need some water-soluble lube.
No.
Yeah,
it's over with. It was hot.
Okay. Yeah, so, awesome. Yeah, I got a boat. What of it?
I was wondering if I could borrow it for a while.
Why? What do you want me to do with the boat?
Well, she may be she may be dead or in a coma.
Right.
And I was thinking we throw her in the chuck.
Oh, so we toss her in the boat? And what, like drive her to a hospital?
No. What about the ocean?
So let me get this straight. You met a chick at Carlos and Pepe's.
Yeah, she was hot. I did a jello shot off her
belly.
You
did a jello shot. You dropped a digit on her on the beach, and now you want me to drag her into the ocean and throw her in because she's passed out?
Yeah, but I don't want to go. I don't want to go with
cool.
you. Is it cool if I don't go with you?
So hold on a second. Because a minute ago I was watching The Honeymooners and enjoying a Zima. Now you want me to get up, pop on the hirachis, head down to the beach.
Yeah.
Are you going to help me load her onto the boat?
No, I got to get home.
Okay, so let me just digest this for a second. She may or may not be dead.
She will be, though.
Okay, but as of now, she may still have a pulse.
Yeah, I can't tell.
Okay, so you want me to swing by, but you won't be there, and then I should grab her and drag her across the sand and right. then toss her onto my boat and then drag her a couple kilometers off the shore and then dump her in the ocean and sure. then go back home, and you're going to be where?
And what you do with her before that's up to you.
This has been a wonderful reenactment.
Made extra creepy by the story that we heard shortly thereafter about Norm MacDonald and the neighbor's wife.
Well, a couple things. I think it was based on an interview of like one of Vandersloot's island buddies.
Yeah.
Said he got a call from Vandersloot and he told him to go pick up the body and dump it out in the ocean and everything. And yeah, it was a reenactment of that phone call. Yeah, Norm, he hates when I tell this story, but that's not going to stop me from telling it for the 55th time. Norm, well, he shouldn't have told us on the
Why
air.
Why did he tell us? We dragged it out of him.
I think when we used to catch him in the morning, he was vulnerable.
Guy sounds hot.
He was like up all night, and I think people mistake me for him and he for me, so I think he just thinks that maybe I'm telling the story.
He's talking in the mirror.
But he was saying that he had sex with his good friend's wife. That's how it started.
Yeah.
And then we said, well, where was the friend? Out of town? And he said, no, mowing the lawn. So he said he was having sex with the wife inside the house while the friend was mowing the lawn. And then dropped this bomb. back door love as well. So
husband is outside mowing the lawn.
Yeah.
While he is entering the wife from the rear.
Yeah, you want to talk about a sense of entitlement. Like, wow. Hey, while your husband's out, I want to know if you could do something for me. What do you want, like a lemonade or something? Nope, it's a little higher up on the scale than that.
Borrow a cup of sugar?
Nope. You want a little kiss? And you want a little booby grab? And you want oral sex? And you want to have intercourse while my husband's 18 feet away with a snapper?
And
like, wow, you're pushing for anal sex while my husband is on the property?
That's a tough sell.
I know, but I love the man for it. And if you think about it, it's sort of diabolical because if it's a power mower, you're going to hear it. It's like you're going back and forth, getting further away and closer and further away. And the second it stops, that's an edger. Nobody walks away from a power mower while it's running. No one goes, I'm going to go in and grab some lemonade while it runs out on the lawn. You'd stop it. So if you heard it stop, it's time to pull out.
Yeah.
If it's using a push mower, you still get the sound thing. But if the guy caught you, he'd be so fucking tired he couldn't raise his arms. Because there's nothing more tiring than a push mower. The push mower should have gone the way the dodo the second the power mower was invented, but they still hung around for another 30 years. Like, we had a push mower at our house. Like, hurr, hurr. And we only mowed the lawn once every, like, 19 months at the Corolla house. So it'd be like the, Serengeti up there. And you'd have to use, like, a machete to get it down to the 3-foot level and then push it. No, my dad didn't mow the lawn. This is my mom's house that I'd do. All right, sorry. Where were we?
Well, Isaac Hayes is in the news.
Mm-hmm.
Legendary soul musician Isaac Hayes,
mm-hmm.
who appeared on our show.
What?
Yeah, a few minutes before he died.
It seemed like it.
Yeah, it was a very incoherent interview.
Yeah.
He may get a memorial stretch of highway in his home state of Tennessee.
Yeah. That's good.
It's good?
Yeah.
I was wondering how
it's for that. Yeah.
The Isaac Hayes Memorial Highway would be a section of Interstate 40.
Good. Mile of blacktop.
He had a stroke in 2008 at the age of 65, just minutes after being interviewed by Adam Carolla. And confusing.
Possibly wild.
All of us.
Yeah. Let's have a conversation with Isaac Hayes. Isaac.
It's a good thing.
Yeah.
The highway?
You're happy about the highway?
That's good.
It's good, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
your home state to honor you in that way.
Sure.
It's good.
Would there be a problem? Like, what if someone littered on it or something like that?
Trash.
What?
Yeah, or what if they broke down?
Yeah.
No, I mean on the Isaac Hayes Memorial Highway.
Sometimes.
And it might break down, but I'm saying, you know, what if you know, like I said, someone could vandalize it, there could be graffiti, they could litter on it.
Wait a second, I just thought of something terrible. Mm. What if there was a fatal car accident right on his strip of
highway? Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
No. No.
Well, that can happen.
No.
Yeah, accidents frequently happen.
Sometimes.
More than sometimes, and freeways are very dangerous.
You can't argue with Isaac.
What?
Yeah.
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 I wonder, I always wanted to ask Isaac if he is upset about it.
Yeah.
You are.
Who do you think is more upset? Isaac Hayes or the parents of
Rue McClanahan?
No, the chick Vandersloot killed on the beach.
It's good.
Yeah, see? It's good.
It's a good thing.
You think it's good they caught Vandersloot finally?
Yeah.
Did he kill Natalie Holloway?
Yeah.
All right.
Wait, are you?
All right, so Isaac, you're not upset that we're using your voice over and over again on this show?
No.
Okay, well, there you go.
Are you sure?
You know, it's a thing that you get when you do show.
It took us a while to realize that something wasn't right.
Yeah, I think that's when I really realized something wasn't right.
Yeah. We're sorry. We didn't know that you'd probably already had some sort of stroke.
No.
Yeah.
But look, what's different than this or John Wayne showing up in a Coors commercial or Fred Astaire dancing with a Wonder Mop? You know what I mean? It's a fitting tribute.
It is.
Yeah. It's a good thing.
It's like when Natalie Cole sung with that King Cole.
Yeah.
It's good.
It's good.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah, we should get a Grammy for this. All right.
No.
Yeah, you know. Wait, Isaac, you have a Grammy.
No.
For a theme from... Yeah, you do. Theme from Chef. Will you?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm... You don't forget winning a Grammy, do you?
Yeah.
And an Academy Award, I think.
Yeah.
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Sometimes.
No, you're not... You're either in or you're out, and you're in. You're in.
No,
they voted you in 2002.
I want Isaac to interview Bobby Lee, too.
Oh, Isaac does a heck of an interview from heaven.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I wonder if Natalie Holloway's up there with Isaac.
Oh.
No.
What? She seemed like a sweet girl.
No.
Listen.
What about Rue?
I like to think that she's on some island with Amelia Earhart right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be nice.
Both making sandcastles in the sun.
And B. Arthur.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is
B. Arthur up there, Maude?
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. He probably banged her last night.
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
Wait a second. Isaac, you had sex with B. Arthur.
Yeah.
How many times you got to tell you? All right, should we bring in? I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to do a little read for one of our sponsors, and we'll bring in Bobby Lee.
Oh,
how
good.
About that? Yeah.
I like that Margaret Cho was your idol.
Yeah, I love her a lot.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in San Diego, Poway.
Where?
It's a little town called Poway. It's like a kind of a farming kind of a community. I did a lot of meth, you know. And,
can I ask this about Margaret Cho? Because Margaret Cho got weird on me. Uh-oh. I mean, she really...
They had an incident.
Well, tell me what happened.
Well, I had an incident with Margaret. Margaret said, I told her where I lived. Many years ago, which is probably a mistake. And she said, I could walk to your house. And she said like five times, I could walk to your house from where I am. I was up Beechwood Canyon. She said, I could walk to your house from where... So I said, yeah, all right. Well, let you do that. And then at some point, she said, I wrote a script. And I wrote a script with you in mind. And I really want to come over. And I really want to just talk to you about it. And I said, well, yeah, just send me the script. Or I said, no. I want to come over and I'm going to, like, lay it out. I'm going to really, really work the scene. She walked over to my house, and when she got to the top of the stairs, she was sweating profusely. Yeah. And listen, I don't know if this sounds bigoted, but I don't see a lot of sweaty Asian women.
Was she skinny or fat?
She was medium.
Oh, medium.
A little husky.
Well, this
but
is
medium.
Why I love her, because she struggles with her weight and
yeah,
talks.
She looks great now. Look at her.
Yeah, she was. There's an epic battle going on between her and her ass at this point, and she was sweating a lot. Like I said, you don't see Asian women doing a lot of sweating. That's normally heavy set black men. You know, that's the realm of Don King and Jesse Jackson. People like, but she's sweating, and she came in and she sat down and she said, I want to read the scene with you." And I said, "Okay." And she said, and she, we went through it. It's like, okay, so we go into the bedroom. We're at a party. And we take all the coats and we throw them off the bed. And then I tie you down to the bed. And I mount you.
This is true?
This is the scene she's written.
Oh, she's okay.
She's
really,
written this role
this
for
is
Adam.
Real,
and she showed up to rehearse.
This shit happened.
Yes, this okay. shit happened.
Oh, my
this God.
Adam
happened.
Does not exaggerate.
Okay.
No. And I get details wrong. But just okay. believe me. It was a very graphic okay. sexual scene that took place at a party on a bed where there used to be coats and involved tying me to a chair and mounting me and feeling my cock go in her and bouncing up and down on her, yelling for more, you know. And I was like, ah, hey, yeah, yeah. And at some point I had to go do Love Line, so I sort of got her out of there and I went and I did Love Line. I thought, that's a weird one. And then later on, I spoke to Laura Keitlinger, uh-huh. who was another neighbor of
I
mine.
Love Laura, yeah.
And I said, you know, it was a neighbor of ours. And so we started talking about, I forgot who we're talking about.
Margaret
Cho. Margaret Cho, yeah.
How about leaving the jokes to Adam?
Yeah. So we talked, that was Laura Keitlinger. So I said, you know, Margaret Cho lives around here. And she said, I got a weird story to tell you about Margaret Cho. And I said, do tell. She wrote a movie with me in it. And I said, yeah.
Oh, no.
There was a sex. There was a very graphic sex scene between us in this movie.
Is her move.
And I thought, wow, it's fucking diabolical. Like,
no,
you
it
just,
is.
You just go, hey, man, I'm in the neighborhood. And I wrote a script. And I'm sure she just banged it out that afternoon.
That has to work at least half the time.
But what was the motivation, though?
Seduction.
Seduction.
I
feel bad it never happened to me.
Yeah,
I would.
What's what?
She never showed up at your house?
She never did that to me.
I think that was during a period in her life where she might have...
She's married now.
She's married?
Yeah.
To Laura Keitlinger?
No. To a man.
A dude?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. She used to date Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah. I live on Beechwood.
Wow. Wow.
You live on that street, and yet she never invited you over.
Never tried to fuck you?
No.
Wow.
I live on that street.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. I feel horrible right now.
Well,
maybe she only.
Dude, I don't want to make love to her. Though.
Maybe
look
she only
her.
Likes the Anglos. Maybe she doesn't go.
When an Asian guy makes love to an Asian girl, can I just say this?
Please.
I had sex with one, and it was so weird because in the dark, they look like people you know, like family.
Interesting.
You know what I mean? It's not a racial thing, but it's like, oh my God, there's my, you know, auntie.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yes.
Or me. In the 11th grade.
Yeah, it could be.
You know what I mean? Like you.
Oh, me. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
You were in high.
Pluto TV, the leading free streaming television service. Watch over 100 channels and thousands of movies on demand completely free. Pluto TV never asks for a credit card. You don't even need to sign up to watch for free. Pluto TV is easy. It's completely legal. And it's the best way to watch your favorite TV shows and hit movies for free. You never pay for TV again by downloading Pluto TV. Not sure what you're waiting for. You can be rolling in a matter of moments. Download Pluto TV for free on all your favorite devices. Do it today, including your phone and Roku and Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, smart TVs, PlayStations, and anywhere else you stream. And also, don't forget about my channel, Chassis, Chassy, Chassis Channel. Number 501. It is the best. It is Pluto TV.
And that was hilarious.
It was.
If only they played more of the Norm Macdonald clips, but there's just enough in there. It was so good. It's one of my all-time favorite things from the old morning show, and it was such a joy that I found it and was able to share it.
All right. Before we get started the next clip, I do want to remind everybody that Adam Carolla has live shows coming up. That's right. He will be in Denver at Comedy Works June 14th and June 15th. Two shows each night for Adam Carolla's Unprepared. Also in Portland, July 19th and July 20th. in Monterey at the Golden State Theater August 17th. Oh, and in Portland, he'll be at Helium. So tickets at adamcarolla.com. He has more cities after that, too. So now,
I've seen Adam live in most of those cities, Comedy Works in particular. That's a great venue for Carolla stand-up. If you get a chance, go see him.
Oh, he already gave me a map. We're going to the Shelby Museum, Coors Brewery, and Red Rocks Amphitheater.
We did Shelby Museum and Red Rocks.
Yeah.
And Coors.
Yeah, I think we're going to have a little mini road trip. A little tour of Colorado.
I actually filmed a bit at the Shelby Museum or a thing for CarCast for like an hour.
Oh, nice.
So I just strapped some video camera and mic on me. I just had to stand there and like steady cam it. That was very tight.
Which could be a future clip for Carolla Classics because Adam has very publicly lauded all the cameramen out there. They're very...
Yeah, Steadicam operators. Adam's been a supporter of Steadicam operators for over two decades.
Maybe we'll get to that one later this month. I just thought of it in real time. How about that? All right, this next clip. Oh, man, gee, I've been seeing a lot of requests from this one, but a particular request comes from Twitter. It is Will Wright, at EdWill16Fox. I would love to hear the Chris D'Elia as JCVD interview.
Well, see, Adam has a legendary KLSX morning show phoner with the real Jean-Claude Van Damme promoting JCVD. And he was off his, like, phone and, like, just talking to people in the background. He just really wasn't there. He wasn't present. He was probably on a press tour. And they've made fun of it for years. It was just truly bizarre. And this is Chris's 6 of 7 total appearances so far on the podcast. And out of nowhere, he busts out the Jean-Claude Van Damme. And if you like this, there's another clip of him doing it with Heather Graham from 2018. This is Adam Carolla, 2107, Chris D'Elia, Gina Grand, Brian Bishop. A little cameo from Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yes!
Chris D'Elia's in studio already. Good to see you, Chris.
Right here. Good to see you guys. Thanks for having me back.
By the way, did you see when Van Damme started? He's been on Twitter for a long time, but he just like decided to announce that he's official on Twitter. And he put out this tweet where he's sitting on a rock looking out to the ocean. And it's like a 6-second video. And he just says, he just says, Twitter. It's really funny.
I can't. The last
it's
time.
It's like he's official. It's official. Jean-Claude Van Damme. It's official. Jean-Claude Van Damme. And then a video. And he says, Twitter.
Wow.
That's it.
The last time. Gary will find it. Hopefully. The last time we talked to him, he was starring in a movie named after him.
Yeah. JCVD. Yeah.
Right.
That was supposed to be like his, gritty, real.
And I said to him, so is it you who's in the movie? We could never figure it out.
I have no idea.
Yes. Jean-Claude.
Yes.
So the movie you play
JCVD. JCVD.
That's you, Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Technically, I am Jean-Claude Van Damme, but JCVD this time in the movie.
Right. So when I'm watching this movie.
JCVD.
That's what it's called. They will call you your name.
JCVD. They say JCVD. And I say, son of a bitch, what?
Right, but that stands for Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Technically, yes.
So if there was a movie called JT and it was for John Travolta.
Here's JT. In the movie, in real life, John Travolta.
Right, but in the movie, would we be calling him John Travolta?
They would say JT.
JT.
Technically, he is John Travolta.
So the movie... Let's hear your tweet. I think you got on Twitter. You've been on for a while, but you just recently
now it's
went
official.
Public. It's official.
I put a video to make sure everybody knows it's me.
Okay, well, let's
Jean-Claude Van Damme, not JCVD.
Okay, so those are different guys. JCVD, this is where I got confused
this is
the last
not
time.
The character JCVD. This is me, Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Okay, well, let's hear you.
Twitter.
So, Jean-Claude.
Yes.
Were you at the banks near your condo in Canada there when you made that short film?
That was me.
That was you? Yeah. But near the condo?
So close.
So near?
Absolutely so close.
Okay. I won't revisit this. Do you know Seth Rogen? Yes. Yeah. Technically, yes.
Technically, I was near, but in actuality, I was so close.
Okay. All right. I feel satisfied. I feel like I, as long as you were able to walk to the rock.
I could have walked.
Oh, you didn't walk.
I could have. I Uber.
Uber?
Son of a bitch, yes.
Oh.
They got a new tipping app, I think.
I like how Uber was built in.
The old, yeah, the tip was built in.
I have not taken Uber since you can tip.
Oh, so, right.
Now I do Lyft.
Okay, I understand. Oh, when you say Lyft for you, it's funny because you're lifting every day.
I lift every day.
Yeah. So
I take Lyft to go Lyft.
Even though this place was so close to your condo.
Technically, it was so close.
You still chose to Uber.
I Ubered, yes.
Even though you love exercise.
I like when people take care of me.
Ah.
And I like to be driven around and
understood,
rubbed and all that.
So. Yeah, so you, even though you could have walked, you wouldn't have the interaction with the Uber driver who would be taking care of you.
It's amazing.
Right. And it was near to the where your
they
condo
take
is.
Jean-Claude Van Damme and drive me to set. For instance, they take Jean-Claude Van Damme, drive me to set,
right.
Then I am JCVD.
Right. Well, yeah, back to the movie. You play a bank robber or something?
I play, Jean-Claude Van Damme plays bank robber JCVD.
Right. I'm just having trouble wrapping. I don't want to upset you.
It's different. Like Jean-Claude Van Damme believes in, abortion, but JCVD, no.
Oh!
Little different.
Yeah. And how about, like, climate change?
JCVD, big on climate change.
Uh-huh.
Jean-Claude Van Damme feels like it's a Oaks.
It's Oaks?
It's a Oaks.
It's a tree.
No. Not oak tree.
Hoax.
Correct.
Hoax.
H-O-A-X. Oaks.
Hoax. It's an oaks.
It's an oaks, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So now what about, like, you obviously, you're not a citizen of the United States, but if you were to have voted in the election.
Yes.
I'm guessing one of you would have voted for Trump.
One of us, Donald Trump. One of us, Hillary Clinton.
Hillary. Right.
Because.
She's one of those oaks tree huggers.
But I have to say, I thought that the email chain was a oaks. The email thing.
Oaks. Right.
Hillary.
With Comey.
With Comey. Comey, that was a oaks for Hillary, for sure.
Do you know Seth Rogen?
Oh, I have seen him.
On Vancouver?
Walking to my Uber, I saw him. I saw him at right outside TJ Fridays.
When you're TJ Fridays?
I saw him.
Oh, you must like any restaurant with initials.
I love, Jean-Claude Van Damme loves restaurants with initials. JCVD would never go.
Oh, that's interesting.
Isn't that interesting?
That is. That's a twist. I thought that JCVD would go to.
Very interesting.
Yeah, to TGIF.
Would never go.
It'd be too many initials, right? Yeah. How about P.F. Chang?
P.F.
Because I feel like that's a split. You know what I mean?
That's like
you would eat, but eat outside, like something like that.
If they have a patio, I'll do it.
A patio.
I'll
okay.
Do it.
But and would JCVD do it?
But for instance, if they have a patio, if I have to go inside, if I have to go to the bathroom, I will use the establishment next door.
Interesting.
Right, like a Hilton or something.
What?
An Hilton.
Is that a type of restaurant?
No. Paris Hilton?
Oh, a Hilton.
Correct.
A Hilton. I got it. Yeah. So, and what about a KFC?
Oh. JCVD would never go to KFC, but earlier when they called it Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Yeah, that's what I'm
thinking. I was there all the time.
Oh, yeah. So, if you're kicking it old school and we're going Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Like Time Cup. If I had a time machine, I would use that to go back to Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Oh,
I will go there.
Right, because they use a full name.
Oh, all the time.
Yeah. Time Cop was great because Time Cop, I saw at the theater, Jean-Claude, you'll like this, in like 1993 or 4 or something, and it took place in 2007 or something like that.
With the distant future where they discovered time travel. Like
we now go 7.5
it
years
wasn't that
into
far
the future.
Ahead.
And it's like we can now travel time through time. And it was 2004. It's my leader in the Chris D'Elia spec.
Yeah.
I always, no one can convince me otherwise. The difference between 1964 and 1974 is no big deal. But the difference between 1994 and 2004 was 1,000 years in filmmakers' minds.
Right,
because now we're into the 2000s.
Yeah.
We put a 2000.
Yeah, the two in the front.
But to the guys that are inventing time machines, it's just 10 years that they don't, that they're not going to be able
they're
to get
the
job done.
Now.
Yeah.
And, but that movie was insane because it went ahead 10 years. Yeah. And now we had different cars, different wardrobe, different time.
We've mastered time travel.
Why? I don't get why when you're making a film, why don't you just jump ahead 50 years as long as.
It's almost like they didn't think about it that hard.
Yeah, it's almost like they wrote the script quickly.
Time cop.
And a lot of revisions.
Yeah.
Did anyone, workshop. Gary, can you figure out that one? Like,
It must have been. It must have been because
his plug line.
I think it has to be something. It had to be something because his wife had to still be alive in real life or something. So he can go that far ahead. Because I've seen the movie a few times, actually.
Yeah, sadly, me too.
It's just like one of those movies that if it's on, I'll leave it on.
Yeah, I agree. Know? Out of respect.
There you have it. One of my favorite impressions ever throughout the show's history.
I love how he just naturally flowed in and out of it. It was great. Hilarious. Yeah.
And it's spot on. So
yeah, it's very accurate.
Love JCVD. Was always a fan of him. Even a bigger fan after Chris D'Elia did him as an impression. Now, this next clip features a Hall of Fame guest. That left-wing troll. No, we love him. David Alan Greer. Was on in 2015. Tell us about this one.
Adam Carolla Show, 1546, from April of 2015. David Alan Greer, Gina Grad, and Brian Bishop. This is from Gina's News. The first story was on a webmaster behind a revenge porn website. And while they're discussing this, Adam comes up with a solution for things like revenge porn and old material being dug up to embarrass you, and a potential way where everyone can be humiliated very specifically, and then we can move on. Check it out.
RoadHardMovie.com or AdamCarolla.com. You can watch
how much
the movie.
You guys made so far, and are you giving back to all the people that donated? Because I know I want to know.
I have not made any money
yeah,
so
made
far.
It. Why do you laugh? Because it's kind of like
sad.
You're lying.
It
no,
is
no, seriously,
sad.
How much did you make, and are you giving your investors just a little bite of all the millions you made? Why are they turning my mic off? I don't. Hello?
Okay. So far,
I'm getting the old stink eye.
The only person that has not made any money is me. That
wait, so far the only person
I've made any money. I got about
But how do you
8,
buy the,
hours
the, you're
into
buying
it.
The big time cars, the 800,000 for this Paul Stanley's Bucati, you know, the big race cars. You got the, hey, Dad, look at my new building. You know, who pays for that? Because I, is
well, you
it
know,
not
my
the people
dad's
that
a hedge,
you?
Hedge fund guy.
Holy mackerel.
Did you know that?
I didn't. I thought he played trumpet. Is it trumpet
he,
or cornet?
He does, but that's just what he does on the side.
Is it called the welfare fund?
It plays, it plays a flugelhorn. Yeah. Which is not totally different from the trumpet.
It is not.
It's no, the
not.
Reason what pays for all that is the Spike TV shows.
What? I'm sorry. What?
The books. That's why I do all
I'm
that
sorry.
Stuff.
I'm sorry.
All right, should we do a little news?
Let's do it.
Let's do some news.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. A showbiz, Congress, tech news, sports news, world news. Give me news with Gina Grad. Weird shit out of Florida. Sex surveys, Obama. Need news with Gina. Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
So, I don't know if you've heard of revenge porn.
Yes, I have.
So good.
I invented it. Are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm. Kevin Christopher Bellaert may disagree with you because he has been sentenced to 18 years in state prison, according to Gawker. The San Diego man ran the website YouGotPosted.com, where users and hackers could anonymously post nude photos and personal information of people. Almost always women, without their consent, and then the victims would have to pay around $350 on a site called changemyreputation.com to get their pictures taken down. He was convicted on 21 counts of identity theft and 6 counts of extortion.
Yeah.
Wow. 18 years?
18 years.
You answered my question. So it wasn't the revenge porn site. It was that he actually was just this is a ruse to extort people.
Right. Well, right, but right. The best part, they said on an average he earned about $900 a month. So hardly seems worth it.
What an idiot.
Yeah. Man. About 10,000 images were uploaded.
Hey,
I mean, it was
ask
horrible.
Let me something, yeah. Adam. Isn't there going to be an opportunity to revenge porn this guy? He's going to prison. You know he's going to get porked in the bunghole there.
Yeah.
There's going to be a camera because these prisoners are very sophisticated. Post that. Double dip back to him. You know, if you don't want to see Rashawn, you know, driving it home to mama, give me $37. Guys, I'm putting it out there. There's an opportunity.
Maybe they'll have to put money on his canteen.
Yeah, I don't, you know, I
hold
thought.
Hold on, Bald Brian, that was fucking funny. You just stared at me because this new fake Teresa's just slinging them. She's coming with hard balls and you are shutting her down. Very funny. By the way, I like your sweats.
All right.
Go ahead.
I was.
Yeah, I said it.
I was.
Can I get some more mancria, goddammit?
I was in my kitchen this morning. I was standing at the refrigerator in my bathrobe. My daughter handed me her phone because she was talking to her friend Cammy, and she wanted to film her in her dress. She was wearing her Easter dress. And
wait, she talks to her friends on the phone?
She talked to her friends on her cell phone.
She has her own cell phone at 8.
Yes.
Why?
I don't fucking know.
Why does she need a phone at 8?
I just pay for everything. I don't know.
I got news for you. She doesn't fucking believe in the Easter Bunny, okay? She's got a cell phone.
Can I say this?
Google it.
Yeah. Has this been going on for like 1,000 years? Like where someone would go like, why does a 10-year-old need his own wagon wheel? I don't get it. I don't get it. He doesn't even have a mule team
for
yet.
A reason. Like, my daughter doesn't need slaves.
I don't know. I don't know anything other than I pay for everything and that's all I know.
8 years old? You are losing control.
So I'm standing at the refrigerator and I'm trying to get out some milk for my coffee and my daughter hands me the phone and says, get a shot. I mean, Cammy wants to see what I look like in my dress.
So Cammy has a phone, too?
Evidently.
Holy shit.
Cammy's a 31-year-old Puerto Rican dude.
I was going to say, right.
And I'm holding this phone, standing in my bathrobe, trying to, thinking I'm filming my daughter, except for I'm looking at Cammy's picture, post-it size stamp at the top.
You're on a list, dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm trying to think, like, what's going on? Like, and how is anything ever going to stay private? And how is everything not going to just end up on the cloud? And is there, you know, we all need to do? I think this would solve a lot of problems. We all need to schedule one afternoon out of the year. This is for everybody who lives in the United States. You get a DNA swab. We'll get some DNA. We'll put that in the data bank. No more arguing about fingerprints or any of this left behind or ACL fucking you or anything. Just everyone's DNA all in the bank. All in the bank. And then while we're there, we are going to have a videotape where you put on a baby bonnet, clown shoes, and you're raped with a mop handle.
Right.
That'll be everybody. Okay. Every human being. Everybody. And it's just there.
Is there going to be a condom on the mop handle?
No. But we'll use a new mop. Or we'll wipe it. We'll spray down with Purell. Whatever it is.
Ooh, with Purell, it hurt worse.
Well, no. Water-soluble Purell. We're going to take Purell and we're going to mix it with Astroglide.
Okay.
Either way. And then whatever happens about you having sex with your boyfriend when you're 19 and it getting tossed up on the or whatever racially based tirade you went on at a club or whatever it is, the question will have to be asked, is it going to be worse than you being violated with the mop handle, wearing the baby bonnet, and the clown shoes? Answer will be no.
Nope.
That'll be
on.
Equal playing field. Moving on. There'll be nothing.
Okay.
It's not a bad idea.
It's a well thought out plan.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Great equalizer.
Who's first? Who's going first? Guys,
we'll go alphabetically.
Okay. Adam.
Wait, shit.
Brian, let us know what happens.
Bad news for me.
Gio, will you ever look at a mop handle the same way again?
No, I won't.
I can't either. But
Purell?
But I do love Dag. All right, so this next clip that we have is a little weird because back in 2012, we started a podcast called The Adam and Dr. Drew Show. That's right, we brought them back together, and they still do it 5 times a week, by the way. So please subscribe to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show and hear the magic. that is.
Do it.
Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Now, this next request is from JP. He writes, "Hey, guys, love listening to your best of shows and have a request for a future episode. I believe it was September 2012, featuring Dr. Drew, where he and Adam break down several of their, quote, rape rock selections. I used to have it saved in my phone, but it disappeared when I updated. I've been bummed ever since. Gio, can we help JP out?"
So Adam Carolla Show 897 is a Dr. Drew bonus show, episode number 6. It's from September 2012, and this is a little bit complex. So in April of 2012, they tried doing a solo Dr. Drew format bonus episode, and they ended up airing it in the regular feed during the week. And it was pretty good. It was really solid. And they did it again in May, and they aired that one on the weekend, also really good. Those don't count in the official calendars as the Drew bonus shows, but they are. So they have this one listed as bonus show 4, but it's really bonus show 6. And they recorded this in August, and then they played it in September. They recorded it like a Sunday afternoon, and it's the last recording of the day. And this is back when the bonus shows were about an hour long. Adam and Drew are in a really weird mood, and they cover some statutory rock, the more radio-friendly title. Songs from the 70s, stuff they've never covered on air together. So this making fun of this type of music goes all the way back to Loveline, but Gary Puckett and these certain songs were never covered on Loveline. They were covered on the morning show without Drew, and now it's coming full circle, and Adam and Drew are discussing Chevy Van and Gary Puckett and a little bit more, and it is amazing.
From 2012, Adam and Dr. Drew.
There's certain things that, for instance, I always say this, like dogs, you know, before they lay down, they turn in a circle for a while and then they lay down. And you're like, why are you doing that? Because you're on fucking Berber carpet and you're upstairs and there's central air. And it's like, well, that's what their instincts are. You know, that's just what they do.
Right.
And all we understand that with all animals, domesticated animals.
Yeah.
We've become domesticated.
Yeah.
But
so we still do the circling.
We still, there's an element of us that wants to go out and do whatever we want to go out and do, but we've realized we've been domesticated.
Okay.
But there's this thing, and I think this is the new version of going out and humping and gathering, as I always like to kid. But
the porn.
Is I'm going to go off into this next room. Now, it used to be I'm going to the wilderness. Now, well, I'm going down the hall, and I'm going to look at somebody else fuck, and I'm going to beat my meat. And that is my turning around before I lay down on the Berber carpet. That's the thing. You know what I'm saying?
Like, I know what you're saying.
That is my, that's as much as, look, and listen, ladies, if this is his version of being a lone wolf, you know, so be it. Give him a little of that space.
It may be a net positive, too, because if you really sort of look at where that impulse used to go, it would go to the whorehouses. It would go to the bars with their buddies.
I'm going into town.
They'd go act out. And what do they act out? They do aggressive things
out
in the world.
Every third song was written about rambling.
Yeah. Now they ramble out in the cyberspace.
I got to move on.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was about, like, physically moving on.
I bet there's a lot less of weird ass going on when guys travel.
I was just listening to the song, I don't know, We Made Love in My Chevy Van. Song, such a horrible song, speaking of the 70s. But the guy did this thing where it's like, we made love in my Chevy van. And then he went and dropped her back off. And they basically picked up a runaway, fucked her, and then dropped her back off in town. And it's basically a song.
Yeah, well, the sort 70s.
Of, and then there was this 70s. Thing where it's like, next time he comes through town, maybe he'll fuck her again. It's kind of like, I love the songs. Like, I got to be going. I got to fire up my Chevy van.
This the song?
No, it's another song.
I gave a girl a ride in the wagon.
Sammy Johns. Two first names.
I mean, they would talk about these horrible, horrible behaviors as though they were...
Oh, just listen. That's by the way, him putting a quaalude in her Mickey's Big Mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, you listen to the part of the song where he drops her off barefoot back in town. Like he'd raped her in the woods.
This is the Chevy van. This is it.
I know, I'm fucking with you. Yeah, that's why we're playing it.
Oh, I thought maybe it was another one you made fun of.
She's young.
literally was like a pedophile anthem.
Ah, her long legs were tan and brown.
Pedophile effing anthem. Mm-hmm.
He picked the chick up in his van. He took her to the fucking woods and he raped her.
That's exactly right.
Then he took her back to town. Just listen. Listen when he drops her off barefoot. And he's rambling, man.
Oh, God.
I always like the before, during, and the after, too, where they go, we're going to make love in my Chevy van, and then we're making love in my Chevy van, and then we made love in my Chevy van. So it's a good part, you know? Got all the tenses in there.
Creative.
All right. Now, he talks about how small her town was. Put her out in a town. Remember, he pushed her out of the van. He put her out in the van. Now listen.
Dirt Road Main Street.
Oh. It's bare feet. Yeah, I couldn't rape you again.
Well, it's a shame I won't be around because I'm a criminal now. I got to ramble.
Hey, let me tell you, when you get to your later teens, call me. I'll come back and rape you again. But I got to ramble.
It is so... But this is the S.
I like that. The line is, I put her out in a town that was so small you could throw a rock from end to end. That's right. Mm-hmm. She was barefoot when she escaped from the van. He didn't put her out.
In the mud. In the main street without pavement.
Yeah, it's a shame he won't be passing that way again. But like I said, when he does, maybe give another raping.
We wonder why things are unraveling now. That is where it started.
Hey, man. That's made it. Love in the van.
That was the stuff that was, when we were growing up, was not just romantic. It was highly prized, picked valued.
Picked her up in his wagon. That's right. Dumped her off barefoot.
It's pedophilia.
He pushed her out.
Pedophilia.
Did he stop the van? Is that part clear? Or did he shove her
not
out
clear.
Of the van?
Not clear.
Pushed her out of the van.
Something about keeping your eyes on the road.
That's why they have those swiveling captain's chairs, by the way. So you got to kick a 14-year-old you raped by the lake out. You don't even have to you don't have to slow down. You just turn this chair out toward the window and just kick her ass right out.
But this is, you're not using hyperbole.
Probably threw her shoes out a mile down the
no
road.
No shoes. This is why, this is not hyperbole. This
I
is want to
write a song
glorified.
About raping a chick by a lake. What do you got? We made love in my Chevy van.
I bet if you analyze 10% of the songs of the 70s, you'd find shit like this in there.
Well, they all had to do with, she's a little bit too young, but I fucked her anyway.
And I have to move. I have
and
to
then
go.
I ramble.
And I got to go.
Hey, man, you never know when he's passing through that town again.
What was the matter with us as a country?
I have no idea.
Uh-oh. What is this?
Young girl. Better run. You're much too young. You're too young. This is Burton Cummings. Even his last name talks about ejaculate. Burton's coming again. Oh, this is Gary Puckett. That's right. Burton Cummings of the Union Gap, right? Or is there a Gary Puckett in the Union Gap? Where's Burton Cummings? Fuck. You kept the secret of your youth. Maybe you're 15. You led me to. You led him to believe you're old enough to give him love.
I wonder if this guy rested right then. He's singing about what he did.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, young girl, get out of my mind.
This is the Guess Who?
My love for you. No, guess Burton Cummings was the Guess
All
Who.
All right, got it.
This is the Union Gap.
Oh, felt much better.
Sounds like a place where racists would buy jeans. Or the Confederate Gap.
That's where
they buy the jeans. Yeah, Union Gaps. That's good. That's where black folks buy their the jeans. You're just a baby.
Baby in disguise.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And though you know it's wrong to be. Wrong to be alone with me. Listen to this. That come on look is in your eyes. My love for you is way out of mind.
You know what I realized? 70 is a great time to be a pedophile and a sociopath.
Yeah, their other song is This Girl's a Woman Now, which is a good... He made her into a woman by raping her.
Think about what a great
time. And then there's Lady Willpower, too, which is like, I'm going to sex you down. Oh, yeah.
Even though you'll want to. Home
to your mother. I'm sure she wonders where you are. Here comes the declaration of rape right here. Out of here before I have the time to change my mind. Because he's afraid they're going, oh yeah, I'm going to rape your ass. You don't get moving. Oh, young girl, get out of my mind. Must have been a great pitch with, like, his manager. No, no, no. I'm saying I'd like to rape a teenager. I'm not saying I raped her. I'm saying I want to, and I'm going to rape a teenager.
Gave a shit back then. You know, sociopath, pedophile. That's what we value.
Listen to me. Listen, I have a daughter as well. I'm not saying I'd like her raped.
I've seen her in 20
years,
but anyway.
The song is about a guy who's thinking about raping a 14-year-old, but decides not to.
Oh.
Do you understand?
Big difference
there. He's saying, I'm going to rape you, but I'm tired. You understand? But he's not saying he's raped her. It's a big difference there. Number two on Billboard, by the way.
No. But yes, but people that weren't alive then cannot appreciate what we're saying.
I love that. I'm telling you, Lady Willpower is March 68, baby. Lady Willpower is great.
It got worse as the 70s came along.
Young girl and this girl.
Lady
Willpower, it's now. He's telling you, you give your love to me.
Now or never.
Yeah. Yeah. Must have been funny when Gary Puckett. Oh, you gotta listen. Yeah, it must have been funny when you were.
Get a picture of Gary Puckett up. I gotta see this guy.
Oh, yeah.
I know you want to see me. What happened to him? Get some history too. What really? What prison is he in?
He's afraid of what he might have on his mind. Little girl,
you're worried about video games and violence. This was going on in the 60s and 70s. Oh, look at that. Oh.
I'll take good care of your love if you will let me give you mine.
Look at
baby,
look
loosen
at
up.
Look.
Oh, yeah. All right. I need this girl is a woman now.
Click
That's
on
what
Gary
I need.
Click on Gary Puckett there, too.
Hold on.
Just click on
all
him.
Right. Just the point is this. This girl's a woman now. I just like to be a session musician. True, folks.
This girl walked in me.
She had little pigtails and stuff. Now, she's
playing in a world of her own.
Yeah,
it's a
world
sandbox.
Without rapists.
A sandbox.
World without statutory rapists. But now.
Existing in a playground of stone.
Yeah, literally. Literally a playground.
Overnight, her world was changed.
And the rapist showed up. I can't ever believe this shit.
Never gonna walk the same. That's right. After Gary
no
got
shit,
it.
I'll see her in the psych hospitals 10 years later.
This girl is a woman now.
Oh, she's 12. True. She's a woman now. Come on, click on Gary Puckett for me. Get his Wikipedia up there. I gotta see this.
Listen,
I need
listen,
to know where
Drew.
He's in prison.
She's found out. Listen to this. Listen.
Learning to live.
I just love to be one of the session musicians where Gary Puckett and the Union Gap would like show up and they're like, all right, guys, Gary's written another song. Let me guess. Let me guess. This one about the Civil War? No, this is about the deflowering of... Oh, I'm shocked!
Just looking at Wikipedia. Resides in Florida.
I see that. Clearwater. But there was a separate Wikipedia for him.
All right, just listen to the lyrics.
No, vomiting.
Child had died.
Yeah, you killed it.
He killed the child with his cock.
Yeah.
He stabbed the child.
This girl
She learned how to love, bro.
This is like Taboo too. It really is. Same bullshit kind of a glorification of this crap, right?
She found out what it's all about the hard way.
Get the Taboo 2 song up. You'll see it's the same damn S.
All right. Hold on. Let me hear this. All right. She lived in a playground without pedophiles. And then, you know, overnight, she became a woman.
Not overnight. In an instant.
Yeah, in an instant. Well, there you go. All right. Again,
oh my
God. It'd be funny. Like,
and
Gary,
he has two stepdaughters. Oh, I can't.
Got another song?
Taboo 2 is what we need. I mean, just so people can.
Yeah, brother, you'd fuck him, wouldn't you?
All right, but this wasn't number 2 on the Billboard charts. He has it all right,
this is your favorite song, though.
I mean, it is a great.
A lot of young boys are suckled at the teat of this song.
It's true, but this song did not have did not enjoy the kind of common popularity
Billboard.
That Gary
was on the Billboard.
Yeah. All right.
The point is, the culture was infused with this crap in the 70s. Infused.
Yes. Yeah.
Remember when we started this conversation with your poor dad in front of his trailer.
Yeah.
In those crazy pants watering his lawn. Uh-huh. He was infected by all this.
Yeah. Except for he couldn't get laid, but yeah.
Yeah. But he's infected by it.
just love saying. The idea that Gary Puckett. I just would love the band meetings. All right. I've been writing. Let me guess. About what, Gary? Well, now, hold on. Hold on. I'm going a new direction. All right. This one is called You Haven't Started Your Period Yet. But I'm still going to fuck you in the ass. Okay. All right. Too far? Too much? What? This is my thing.
People love
this
stuff.
What I sing about.
People love it. Hit the Billboard with the last one about the 14-year-old.
Yeah.
Let's push the envelope a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
This one's called I Got Enough Pubes for the Both of Us. Okay? This is a... What? No, we're not writing a song about what it's like to be on the road with a hard-working band. That's done way too much.
Unless they come
unless there's some statutory rape.
Playground. and a dirt road.
Phil, I'm listening. You say we stop in Baltimore and rape teens? All right? Okay. All right. All right.
Oh. Oh, my God.
That's all right. They were punished by multiple platinum records. Hey, the guy had pipes.
Our kids are going to have it so much better.
Yeah, they'll have fucking chicks screaming at fat chicks that they're beautiful.
What?
That's every fucking song is chick now, yeah. Talking about empowering other chicks.
Nah, I'm just saying it's better now.
Nah, I call it old-fashioned, but I miss the statutory rape songs.
All right, we're back. Chris and Gio here with one final clip for you. And once again, reminding you, subscribe to Corolla Classics, the podcast. We're releasing a new episode tomorrow. Gio, what can we expect from that one?
Well, coming up tomorrow, June 2nd, in the Corolla Classics feed, we're going to have Rob Hubel, the famous episode where he leaves a classic drop.
Yes.
They have some conversations about JCVD, which actually continue right from the Chris D'Elia episode, including some conversation about Time Cop. That's amazing. Then we have Jay Moore with either the first or some very early Randy Warwick. And most importantly, a clip we've had many requests for, the Kevin Smith interview from 2012, the infamous final appearance of Kevin Smith on the podcast. And then after that, we have Andy Dick in studio promoting Divisions 3 in 2011. And I titled that one Burning Bridges with Andy Dick. And if you listen, you'll find out why.
All right. Mm-hmm. Let's get started with this last clip, though, okay? Because this one features, once again, another all-timer, Greg Fitzsimmons, Fitz Dog. This one is a great tale he tells about him riding the bus.
Another listener request from Matt G. He says, I would love to hear the clip of Greg Fitzsimmons reliving his antics from the November 28th, 2016 episode. I was laughed to tears the first time I heard it. Keep up the great work, fellas. All right, Matt G., Adam Carolla Show 1958 featuring Greg Fitzsimmons, Gina Grad, and Brian Bishop for November 2016. Wheels on the bus go round and round.
Oh, boy.
Go out. Check out Fitz Dog. Always delivers. Just told us a funny joke in the hall. Would you like to tell everyone your funny joke?
Well, listen. You know, a lot of guys talk about, we were talking about
Adam's got this beard, which is like mine. It's coming in a lot of colors.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if you wear it, I shaved mine. And Gina, can you see the welts
I have
there's on my
face? Oh,
there's a
few. Yeah, yeah.
I look a little AIDS-y.
A little bit. Mm-hmm. A little lesion-y.
And, you know, the post-shave, you need there's going to be some issues underneath the beard after mm-hmm. you haven't shaved in a while. And yes. I was talking about how guys all like to shave their balls, and they go, yeah, you know, my girl likes how it feels. And I say, yeah, she likes how it feels the first night. 4 nights later, it feels like you're spanking her in taint with a cactus. Can you relate to that?
Preach, brother. Take us to church. Amen.
And that's why you got to go see Fitzdog and bring the kids. As well. It's a family affair.
Shave them all up.
There's this horrible bus accident, and I think 5 or 6 kids died.
Yeah, ooh, six Jesus. At least.
Yeah, it was a big, bad bus accident. And I don't see, all I want out of life is consistency, which is, I can't, I'll give you an example. A million years ago, we did a man show rap party at a bowling alley. It was Kirkwood Bowling Alley on Ventura Boulevard there. And at a certain point, when everyone was drinking, everyone decided to smoke because that's how it works in this town. Everyone gets drunk and then they want to go smoke a cigarette. But you can't smoke a cigarette in a bowling alley, for Christ's sake. I would argue that they should be grandfathered in. Like when
well,
I was
it's a
kid,
sport. People are exercising.
Yeah, when I was a kid, you'd go to a bowling alley, they would hand you a cigarette as you walked in.
That but old pulley machine.
The bowling and smoking go together. But either way, can't smoke in the bowling alley, fine. Kirkwood, the way the bowling alley was is Ventura Boulevard was a street and it didn't have a Ventura entrance. The entrance was in about 50 feet from Ventura Boulevard and it was off the parking lot. And they have an awning and a bench and a whatever. And so everybody at a certain point when they got good and liquored up is going to go outside and share a cigarette with their beer, except for you can't walk outside of Kirkwood Bowling Alley holding a beer, even though you're in the parking lot. You're not on the fucking street, but you can't be trusted. These are adults.
Yeah.
These are adults. Mid-30s at the time, gainfully employed. We rented the place out for a party. It's our place, essentially. And everyone has to set their beer down on the carpet, you know, next to the front door, and then go out and smoke, and then try to decide whose beer is hers or his when they come back in, because we're safety-oriented. Except for none of our school buses have seatbelts. Other than that, we're into safety.
Oh, yeah, it's amazing.
There's no headrest and there's no seatbelt in the school bus.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's safety, 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 and more safety. There's click it or ticket for you on the highway. You with the airbags, you with the headrest, you with the crumple zones, you with all your stuff. It's click it or ticket, click it or ticket, click it or ticket. But in the box that carries the kids, no. Yeah.
And very casual attitude towards safety.
So I think 6 kids are dead now. And here's my whole thing. We should be able to go fuck you to everything until you put the seatbelts in the school bus, right? Yeah.
Well, they've got their high-backed seats covered in rubber.
Half of them are low bench, or still the low boy. I mean, just go up to the kid's shoulder. I don't know how many are on the road.
Well, the old school buses.
Yeah.
The old ones had the high back. I used to sit in the back row. I went to, I think I might have told you this once before.
Oh, God.
I went to a school, and it was all Catholic schoolgirls on the bus because I went to a private school that was about 20 minutes away. So back then, for whatever reason, if you lived a certain distance from school, even if it wasn't the public school, they still had to provide transportation.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So it was a giant long bus filled with girls with short plaid skirts. And white socks pulled up to the knees.
Oh.
But that little front part of the thigh in the afternoon, the sun would come in and it would just graze the blonde hair on the front of the tan thigh.
Mm. Yeah.
And the Fitzdog sat in the back row.
Young 28-year-old Fitzdog who drove that bus took notice.
Sit in the back row and the Fitzdog used to pleasure himself on the way home from school.
Gary, you hear this? You've been beaten the transportation department. You've
been trying the game, buddy.
Gary beat. I made this insane comment once, which is, well, you know, sort of who beats off in the bathroom of an airplane, and Gary quickly chimed in with one of these: "Who says you need to use the bathroom?"
Oh my God!
And I was just like, now. Corollas don't fly. But if they did, it would surely be coach, or there would be some form of steerage. Yep. Like they would ask, can we go below?
Yeah, is there an oar?
Yeah. But I can't imagine a world. Like, I can imagine a world where my seat reclines 4 inches and the other guy uses it like the old person uses a towel bar to get off the shitter every time they got to get up. Hup! It's like, you do realize there's a human being sleeping here. I know this is, how convenient. There's a leather-covered lift bar that's in front of my seat. But understand there's another human being who's watching a movie who's you're doing that to constantly. Like, does that run through your mind? But I said, how can you beat off? Like, I'm picturing himself, like, making a TP of the USA Today or something, like, above him or something. And it's like, you get the pod. You go international. You get the pod.
That's it.
And I'm like, that's it.
Yeah.
I say Fitzdog trumps you on the bus, though. I mean, that's
school bus.
More bravado.
Tougher putt.
He was four feet from terra firma.
Tougher putt.
Wow.
But today, 2016, it would be viewed as sexual assault. So I think
I would be knocking on doors for the rest of my life every time I moved.
I totally think that's true.
I was in international waters over an ocean. Come on.
You were safe.
I was feet from a Catholic girl. And and the driver, Kenny, this big black guy from Louisiana, on the mornings I'd sit in the front row and we'd talk muscle cars.
Mm-hmm.
He had a 69 Mustang Fastback.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd sit in the back row on the way home and just leisurely. I'd put in a long day at school. I'd studied hard, gym class.
Earned it.
Yeah.
Study hall. Uh-huh. And now it's time, you know, they didn't serve drinks on the bus, so you got to unwind somehow.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd just stroke one out and Kenny would be looking at me in that mirror. Like Fitz, dog. What are you doing back there? What you doing back there, dog?
Fitz, dog with a W.
Wow.
While Gary's is more grand, Fitz, dog's is by far more daring.
Well, and there was also a slit, and it was the big high rubber seats. So there was a slit in the vinyl back there, and I used to bring toilet paper from school. And then I'd work it out onto the toilet paper, and then I'd jam it into the crease, and it would fall down into the back. So by the end of the school year,
the back of the bus, the very back. Oh, so in that weird boot area, there's no way. But that's against the back of the bus,
right?
So it would accumulate.
Yeah. That thing went up in flame at some point.
It's kindling.
I'll tell you, like one thing.
The seat's 22 years old now. It's the funniest seat in the class.
You know, we talk a lot about, you know, the haves and the have-nots and or like, you know, out here it's like the poor Latina. Who's going to clean your toilets or whatever it is? But handling jizz that's not your own is really something that Rich Whitey doesn't really have to think about that much.
Right. That's a rich man, poor man right there. Cause
are you in a lab coat?
You're the reproductive center. You know what I mean?
Right.
For rich folk.
Or you're mopping out Fitz Dog's bus. But
And there you have it, Corolla Classics for June 1st, 2019. I want to thank everybody for submitting their requests, listening to the show, and just being a part of this show. We love having you guys here on this beautiful Saturday. If you're liking these clips and want to hear the full episode of each clip, where do they go, Gio?
Podcast One Premium, home of all your favorite podcasts. They have the entire Adam Corolla Show archive, all 10-plus years. We give you the descriptions, the guest information, and the rough date. You can go through there, find the full episode, listen to your heart's content. Again, a lot of these episodes are just as funny the entire running time. So when you hear the full show, be surprised how hilarious they truly are.
Yeah, this show is like a beer flight. You're tasting it. You like it. Now get the pint.
Yeah.
Podcast One Premium. All right.
The funniest pint around.
So we'll see you tomorrow on Corolla Classics. Till then, my name's Chris Loxamana. That's Superfan Giovanni.
Mahalo, and get it on.